Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yep, he's planning another project. So, this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of These Walls Can Talk, a conversation about Ashmore Estates. And you sound like the type of guy who can be in a building like that and keep it together pretty good. Like, if you're in there by yourself, you own the building, you've got a job to do, you need to take care of things. Now, me, on the other hand, I think I'd be kind of scared to be in there by myself. But are there ever times where you do feel like, gotta go?
There was once. It was May of 14. I was just, after I bought the building, probably towards the end of May, I was on the third floor outside by the nurse's station. I was hooking up electrical wiring. And there was nobody else in the building but me. And this was like middle of the afternoon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was something that, you know, I always tell people, it's like, you know how when you go to that party and you get the feeling that you're really not wanted there and that people want you to leave. And I'm like, you know, that's what it felt like. And I was standing here on the third floor, and probably after an hour, because I kept pushing it away and pushing it away. And finally, about an hour after it was all going, I'm like, okay, if you guys are having a party today and I'm not invited, I'll leave. I get it. Not a problem. And I said, so, you know, I'm out of here. So I ended up leaving. And in fact, I was headed down to pick up some supplies at the Menards in Effingham, Illinois. And I called my wife, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, headed down to pick up some materials. She's like, in the afternoon, because I always did that at night. And I said, there's something in the building that doesn't want me there today. And I've told other people that, and they're like, oh, it must have been some demon in the building. I'm like, nope. I said, I look at it the opposite way. I said, it might be something that is trying to protect me. Maybe there's something going to happen, or maybe they thought I was hooking some wiring up wrong or something. And I said, so they're trying to protect me, you know, from being in the building. And they don't want me to do whatever I'm doing.
Oh.
You know, they want me there, or they don't want me doing what I'm doing. So I left, and it's never happened since.
That's just that one time.
Yep. That was it. I mean, and I've been in there morning, day, and night, and it's never an issue. And I wander through the building without flashlights in the middle of the night, stuff like that. It's not, it doesn't, nothing bothers me.
But you still hear things, and all, you get the experiences, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's,
yeah,
not,
I still hear voices and things like that.
But just not threatening to you.
Right. And I'm not one to go out. I'm probably one of the worst venue owners in a way, because of evidence. Because when things have happened to me in the building, like I hear voices and all, I don't run to Facebook and I don't, or Twitter or wherever else, and I don't go out there and put it out there. I just heard this in the boiler today, because I kind of think it's like self-promoting your building. And I don't like to do that. So I won't do it. I told friends of mine, you know, or like on, you know, podcasts, stuff like that, I'll talk about it, but I'm not going to go out there because I think you're just trying to basically, it's almost like you're advertising your location, you know, that this stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't do it. And it's kind of the same way when people bring evidence to me that they've got, and they want me to show it, you know, they'll show it to me. I'm like, I'll look at it, but you're probably not going to like my answers. Because to me, it's pretty much like it's got to be almost like slap me in the face. There's no doubt about it, you know. Or I'm just like, nah. There's got to be something else to cause that, and which is good and bad, you know. Because you never know. Somebody's gonna get upset, you know, and they probably have when I tell them no, I don't think that's what it is. And I did have a guy just recently that posted a video, and it looked really good. I mean, I was kind of, you know, like the shadow that they caught. I'm like, that's kind of cool. And so I sent him a message and asked him, hey, I said, if you don't mind, I said, I have cameras set up looking the other direction that you were looking at. I said, if you can tell me what time it was that you did that, I'll go back and see if I can see anything. And so he said, yeah, that'd be great. So he gave it to me, and I found the clip. I found everything. I sent it to him, and he sent me a message back. It's like, looks like it was one of our people. I'm like, yeah, it was. And, but it was basically, it was like the IRs were playing games with each other. It was like when they moved their arm, my IR was picking up like a shadow, forcing a shadow to happen. And they couldn't see it from their camera, but I could see it from my camera. And so, and he came out and posted it, which I was really impressed with. He came out and posted that in that video we just posted the other day has been debunked. He said, it's not what we thought it was. It was one of our own investigators. And thanked me for sending the video to him to show that what it was. So, which was kind of cool, because a lot of people would sit there and say they still want to argue with you, or they just let it go. And he didn't do that.
No, I respect that.
Oh yeah, tremendously. And because that doesn't happen most of the time.
Have you seen any footage or heard any EVPs that did kind of slap you in the face and make you think no doubt about that one?
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of people that show here sent me EVPs and all, that I can hear what they're talking about or something similar. I can't validate that it's a spirit in the building because I wasn't there. And mm-hmm. somebody could be talking in the background and I wouldn't know if it was a spirit or if it was somebody talking in the background on their team.
Right.
So, and I always kind of figure too that one of these days somebody's going to send me something that they're basically just trying to set me up, and that they did something. And I can say, oh, that's cool. You know, that sounds like, you know, and it can be basically one of their team members just faking something. So you have to be kind of careful with it, because I think a lot of times people, especially in today's world, they want to test you and see if they can catch you, you know, almost like lying about something. But it's like, I wasn't, you know, so I always tell people, I wasn't there. I don't have any idea. It sounds interesting to me, but I wasn't there. You'll know more about it than I would. And then, you know, I'll tell them what I hear, but I don't know if it was you or somebody else from your group.
I get that. It's a different world, and they can do any more. People can fake things pretty easily.
There's people out there that are just trying to bust you out and, you know, with stuff like that. And I always tell them, you know, that if I was going to fake stuff, I had to keep the haunted house going that I had. And
right.
It was in my building, in my house, and I didn't have to drive 2 hours over here. Like, so I would just keep doing that. And you know, there's no reason to fake anything. I don't have any reason to fake stuff. And I usually, if I'm over there, and people are investigating, I'm not in the building. I'm usually sitting outside and just talking to them when they come out on breaks or something like that. Because it's like, no, this is the building for you guys to do what you want to do. I'm not going to be in it. You know, you guys can, you know, want to do all you want to.
Now, are you still driving back and forth 2 hours?
I don't do it every weekend. We just got done building a house out there. Just finished it pretty much like towards the end of August. And so I'm not going over there quite as much as I did. For the last year and a half, I was going out there about every weekend. And then for the first couple of years that I owned it, I was going there every weekend. Then I kind of slowed down and was just going over there on occasion. But yeah, now I'm over there if I'm working on projects or something like that. And I've got, you know, Ashley, who lives on the property at the house that we built, she's over there all the time. So she takes care of things, you know, the day-to-day stuff over there. And most of the teams that are coming in, she'll do, you know, she'll work with them and take care of everything there and show them through the building and give them the tour of the location. So, which helps. but I don't have to, so I don't have to go over there all the time like I was.
And I've read that, and you never know. I always have to preface that because what you find on the internet might or might not be true. And when it comes to ghosts, there's so few things that you can absolutely 100% prove. But I have read, you mentioned little Elva Skinner. She was a little girl who died. Her dress caught on fire. It was just tragic. And I've heard that her spirit is still there.
I definitely think that Elva still wanders around the property. And I think she's still in the building. And I put that on, I guess I put a lot of trust in a 9-year-old girl that lived down the street, that she had never been in the building. And her mom called me one morning and said, hey, it's like Autumn was in bed this morning about 2 o'clock or so. And I heard her in there singing. And I went in and talked to her. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, just singing. She's like, who are you singing to or with? And she's like, my friend from down the building. And she's like, really? And she said, yeah. She's like, she came down to visit me. So we were in here singing. And she's like, okay. So she called me. I was kind of worried about it. And I'm like, you know, there's a good chance it might be Elva. And so we started talking about it a little bit more. I said, can you ask her what she looks like, what she's wearing sometime? And she's like, all right. So her mom started getting more comfortable with the whole thing. I mean, you know, with her daughter, Autumn, talking to somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was. And so she asked her one day, she called me. She's like, Autumn told me that the girl has a long frill, like white dress. She has her hair, she's blonde hair with ribbons in her hair. And she has something wrapped around her legs, but she doesn't know what they are. And my thought process, because I'm involved with EMS quite a bit, is that those are probably bandages around her legs.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking that this has got to be Elva. And her mom asked her what her name was, and she said she really couldn't pronounce it, but she said it, she knew it started with an E. And so it's just kind of weird, but she'd gone on numerous times, told us about things. She said that we put Christmas lights up one time in the building and outside, and her mom got, you know, they were gone that weekend. And her mom called me on Monday. She's like, hey, we were gone all weekend. Did you guys put Christmas lights up? And I said, yeah. And she's like, did you put them up on the inside? And I said, yeah. And said, why? She's like, well, because Autumn said her friend came down and told her that she likes the lights on inside the building because she can see better in there now when it's dark.
That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. It was bizarre because there's no way she should know that we had lights in that building until somebody came down and told her.
Wow. And,
So what I did, I hooked up I put a light on a timer. And the light was in this one hallway where we had a lot of the Christmas lights up. I put the light in that hallway and had it set up on the timer. So it would kick on like at 10 o'clock at night and go off like at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And investigators kept unplugging it because they didn't want the light on. So, you know, I kind of quit because I get tired of resetting it every night, you know, somebody do that. So instead of them saying, why do you guys have this light up here? They just unplug it. And, you know, and I've told people, because we'll tell, you know, I've told people a lot of times, you know, we've got proof from a 9-year-old girl who has no idea about lying about this girl coming to talk to her. And I said that she likes the lights on in the building. I said, so you might want to turn the lights on when you investigate, with them on for a while, then turn them off, whatever you want to do, but just try it. And most of the time they don't do it because, the TV shows never showed lights on, so why should we have lights on? But yeah, I mean, as I said, most of my stuff has all happened during the day. Mike and Chris from Tennessee Race Chasers a couple years ago, I told them, I said, you know, one thing that we need to do sometime, I said, when you guys do an investigation out here for the public, so we should do one during the day, a celebrity type investigation during the day. Nobody does those. They all do them at night. And he's like, why do we do it at night? I said, well, because there's a lot of people that don't want to be out here until midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning or something to do investigations. They don't want to drive out that far. They're scared to be in a building in the dark. I'm like, plus the building's active during the day. So we did one a couple of years ago, and Mike and Christy even said that it's like, there's more stuff going on during the day than there is at night. And I said, yeah, I kind of try to tell people that they don't want to listen. So maybe they'll listen to you guys since you're the, you know, quote unquote professional being on TV. And, but we do a lot of investigations during the day and out there. And I think it's just a little bit different for people. They just don't understand it. But it's not like the spirits are like, oh, we can't show up until night. You know, we got to go hide or something for, you know, during the day.
That's what I don't get. When I was a kid, I lived in a haunted house, and there was absolutely as much stuff happened during the day than it happened at night. And I think it would be almost be cool to do one at night if you want to, but then do one during the day because it would look like you're in an entirely different place. You don't.
Oh yeah. That's what we tell people all the time. It's like, we do a daytime and a nighttime. I said, do the daytime, transition in the evening and see if you feel like the building is changing.
I think that would be really interesting. Because I would imagine, do you ever feel like there's anything that's dark there, or is it kind of a mix of emotions and energy?
I think there's a mix of emotions there. I don't think there's anything dark, but I do believe there's some angry or confused spirits, because when it was a poor farm, there was a lot of people there that probably had some mental incapacities or something. I mean, there was just some issues that they might have had, such as autism. Or I know that the twins, Mary and Margaret, who are thought to be in the one room quite a bit, you know, they had Down syndrome. And so I think there's a lot of times there's situations like that, that the spirits can be there, and they might be a little bit angry if you're coming in on their turf, so to speak, and it's like an area that they kind of think is theirs. One of those is basically like the basement area, the boiler room area. I think that there's a spirit down there, which a lot of people think is Joe, and he doesn't like women down there. And it seems like there's always an issue when some women come into that area, especially they're by themselves. And I kind of look at it and say, you know, I say, here's what I think it is. I said, Joe had some mental problems, and he was given basically the job of taking care of parts of the building or parts of the grounds. And so this was his domain. And so he feels that you're intruding on his spot, and you should be up there in the kitchen cooking and things like that. You shouldn't be down here in my work area. This is my area. You stay out of my area. And I think that's what it is. So is it an evil spirit? No, but I think he's just, just misunderstood and just possessive of the location of the property that he's at.
And maybe too, it was kind of like, this is man's work down here. And
exactly.
You have no business.
Well, and going to see locations at during times, I always tell people, I'm like, think about the time frame that they were been active. I said, mm-hmm. At this place, they would have been active from probably 6 a.m. until about 9 p.m. And we see a lot of times the energy at night changes, just because I think it gets a little bit angry later in the evening. And I think a lot of that is like, because at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you come in my bedroom and start asking questions, I'm going to be a little angry too. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. And I always kind of tell them, like, think of where you're going and the location you're going to. For instance, schoolhouses. I would never investigate a schoolhouse, even though I've done it. I just do not on a weekend, because it was busy during the week from about, 8 o'clock in the morning until probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so that's the time frame that I would like to go investigate a schoolhouse, because that's when it's active. So if there's any residual type of activity, that's when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen probably at 6 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night.
And I think with Ashmore Estates, when you look back on its history that we talked about and the different types of people that were there for different reasons, and when you mentioned the girls who had Down syndrome, I could see passing away could be a very confusing thing to them. Where else do they have to go? You know, this is a place that accepted them and they lived, but they didn't have another place. So I could see how they might be unusually attached.
No, I agree. And it's probably tough on them, especially because these were their friends also. And so they may have lived out there for 5 years, 10, 20, 30 years with these same people. And that's their family.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they've lost their family members now. And they've grown up with and they've grown close to. So it's tough. I mean, it's got to be tough, especially when you're living with these people for as long as they have and they lose them. And then they're pretty much like, and then all of a sudden they really see society pretty much like cast them aside. They go out and bury them, and who knows if they even had, you know, a real coffins and, you know, caskets for these people. They may just bury them in a hole.
And I just love that when you went there that first day, you heard "help our building." And, you know, it's like, and you're right, with all the windows boarded up and no roof, I can't even imagine the expense and what it took to replace all the windows and the roof and everything you had to do. But I think just having respect for the building, my feeling is they have a lot of respect for you, for what you've done to help it.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who I was telling, he's a very good psychic medium, and I was talking to him one day, and I told him about the situation over there, about walking into the building and just feeling that something was saying, "help our building." And he said, "well, you know what it was?" And I'm like, "no, that's why I'm asking you." And he's like, "well," he said, "you know, I own this whole movie theater, and we built a house inside of it. It was in bad shape." He said, "the spirits from the building at the theater have followed you over there, wandering through this building with you. And they're probably telling them, it's like, you should see what he's done to our place." And so they're suggesting that, you know, talk him into come over and do this. So that's what he seems to think, that they basically just went over with me and told him, you know, he can do your place like he did ours. You're going to love it. So
I love that idea. I love that whole idea of them following you over and go, "guys, really, let him in."
And Damon's always told me, he said, "you have an entourage following you around everywhere you go." And he said, because of the building here being haunted that I'm at. And he said, they're with you all the time. They just kind of follow you around.
You know, and especially a building like Ashmore Estates, where they are so connected because there was no place else to go, that if that building was to go away, what does happen to those spirits? I don't know how that works in the afterlife. And when you're a spirit hanging around, I'm not sure how that works, but I think that you don't want the place to crumble and be torn down and fall apart.
I think some of that is that they stay with the land,
mm-hmm.
and they might stick around the land, and there might be a little more information with that coming up, not to plug TV shows, but on the October 22nd show with Jack Osborne.
Now, does it air on October 22nd then?
Yes. Yep. Okay. On Travel Channel at 9 p.m. Central time.
So this is, in case you're listening to this episode in 2025, then you can, you can find it online. You can stream it. It's out there. But for the rest of us, we'll watch it on October 22nd. This will air before then.
Yep. That episode is going to be really, it'll be, and I haven't seen it. So I'm just going from the time I spent out there, for the week I spent with them out there. If Jack told me when the episode, when they got done shooting, he said, "we can make this two parts." He said, "but I know that the network's not going to let me do it." He said, "we've had so much stuff going on out here, we can make this a two-part episode without any problem at all." He said, "but we're going to have to cram as much as we can in one episode." So it'll be interesting to see what they have to cut, because it's almost like a three-part investigation they did, because we built the house and we've got the building and the grounds it should be very interesting. And I'm going to probably do a Facebook Live or something like that after the episode's done, for anybody to ask questions.
Oh, that would be real interesting.
Yeah. I did that with Destination Fear, and I was fortunate enough that Dakota was able to come on with me after the episode was aired. I think I get this lucky this time. I said something to Jack about it, or his producers. And I don't think that will happen, but yeah, we're going to do it. I'll do it anyway, just personally. People had questions, and, you know, and I might have some questions too about what they did. But it's going to be a good one. It'll be pretty much unlike any other episode that anybody's done in the paranormal on TV, if they put some of the stuff in there that I think they're going to.
You know, and this just popped in my head when you mentioned the house on the property that you built. Does that house seem to have any activity? It's a newer build. It's on the land.
Maybe.
Oh, find out October 22nd. That's interesting. Right. That's interesting. I can't wait to watch that. And I think it'd be cool for all of us to watch that. And then we, you know, people can get a real good idea of what the building looks like on the inside and kind of what we're talking about. Because you can, there's great photographs. I've found some really cool photographs online of the building.
Maybe I do some walkthroughs of the building every once in a while, too, out there and do some live stuff that they're walking through, just kind of talking about and everything for people just to kind of take a visual. You know, I have to do it kind of quick because it's, I mean, there's three floors in the boiler room. So, you know, by the time you get done talking through the building and everything, you've almost spent a half an hour. And, you know, attention spans sometimes aren't that long.
Right.
So I try to do it fairly quick, but make it so that people can still get an idea or see it or try to answer some questions, you know, while I'm going through it. The building's fun. I enjoy the building. It's been a fun location to own. You know, we'll see what the future does with it, but it just keeps on going. And I've said it on, you know, when I did my own podcast and everything, and I always said, it's like, I don't understand how teams can come out there. I mean, we're booked up so many nights in a row and how these groups come out there. And I'm not going to say every group comes out there has experiences, but I would say most of them do. And when they tell me that, I'm like, how does that happen night after night after night? And that they get this. And I had one just recently where they made a comment. I think it was an email. I forget what it was. And I said, hope you guys had, you know, some good experiences out there. It's like, well, it was kind of slow. He said, one of the guys, you know, a couple of guys saw a full body apparition walk through on the first floor, but that was about it. Like, what? That was it?
That's all.
They'd be like, pack it up. I'm done for the night. This has been the best. So. But yeah, they just thought that.
That's crazy because there are people who never see a full body apparition ever.
Yeah, these guys are downplaying it. Like, yeah, that's the only thing we got.
I don't know, it makes me laugh.
You know, where you guys are going to investigate and all, but dang, if that's just like the bottom of the barrel, it's almost like throwing a fish back. Heck, I want to know where you guys are investigating all the time.
Now, do you do the investigations in year round or does it get too cold at, you know, in Illinois in the middle of winter?
Well, we don't turn people away, but I do try to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
And, by that, I mean that there is no heat in the building except for the team room area. And since it has two exterior walls, I always tell them, come in, get warm, and get out. Because if you sit there too long, that 60-degree temperature that the building is, you're going to get cold again.
Yeah.
And when you go out into the real cold, you're really going to be cold. But when they filmed the episode that's coming up in October, it was in January. And they got really lucky because the weather was about 45 or 50 that day, or for like the week they were out there. And it only got below freezing one night. And
For Illinois in January.
Oh, yeah. That's what I try to tell those guys. I mean, they came out there, they're freezing to death. And I wear shorts year round. And so I'm up there wearing my shorts, and they're like, oh my God, it's so cold in this building. I'm like, this is pretty nice, really, for January. And they're like, yeah, well, we're from California. I'm like, yeah, but this is really nice for January.
Really? And,
but yeah, it was kind of funny, you know, watching these guys go through it. But especially with a couple guys that, the two guys that are in there that came out and shot the episode with him, had Jamie Kennedy and Jason Mews. Jamie Kennedy had never done a paranormal investigation ever. And he's been in a bunch of different movies. So it was, but yeah, it was pretty cold in January, but not as cold as it normally would be.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And I can't wait to watch that episode on October the 22nd.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. And like I said, I think it'll be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it too. You know, then I'll jump on right after it's done and talk about it for, you know, half hour, an hour, something like that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for asking me on.
And that wraps up our conversation about Ashmore Estates. You can get more information about their paranormal investigations and more at their website, ashmoreestates.net. You can also visit their Facebook page. Just search Ashmore Estates. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and the advance episodes, you can get everything commercial free by becoming a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's Social Casino.